The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include apartment rents in the Triangle set to rise again and 401k rollover options. And we'll begin with apartment rents in the Triangle set to rise again. While rents are expected to start rebounding soon in the Triangle at higher rates than other metros nationally, they aren't expected to immediately return to their pre-pandemic highs. As the pandemic's economic strain affected renters' incomes, many landlords and property management companies lowered their monthly rents or kept them flat in an effort to keep their tenants. National rents dropped dramatically in the first half of 2020, but because they were so high in Raleigh-Durham pre-pandemic, they barely went negative, said Adam Couch, an analyst with RealPage, a housing data firm. The current average rent in the Raleigh-Durham market is $1,179 per month, which is $230 below the U.S. average, according to RealPage. The highest it's ever been was an average of $1,182 a month during the last 3 months of 2020. The pandemic ultimately didn't stop or reverse their growth, but instead reduced how much they were growing by. The average rent a year ago in the Triangle was $1,173, roughly the same it has been so far this year. Rents in the third quarter of 2020, July through September, did decrease year over year, but only by 0.05%. The data looks at the Raleigh-Durham market, which encompasses Wake, Durham, and Orange counties, as well as surrounding ones. Quarterly rent figures from RealPage show the virus halted an upward trend. In the first 3 months of 2020, average rents were 4.1% higher than 2019. Once the country went into lockdown in the second quarter, year-over-year rent growth dropped drastically to just 0.3%. The rent growth rate rose to less than 1%, 0.72%, in the fourth quarter, or last 3 months of 2020. We're not expecting that the rent growth will go back to the pre-pandemic norm by the end of the year, Couch said, and that's just because there's been a sustained level of supply of new deliveries for the apartment market in recent years. Raleigh and Charlotte, as well as Nashville and Atlanta, are apartment markets in the Southeast slated for rent growth due to their strong economies. We feel like we hit a low in terms of rent performance for many markets throughout the nation, and that includes the Raleigh-Durham area. And we feel that by the end of this year, rents will return pretty well, Couch said. RealPage projects rents quarterly rent growth rates will rise to 0.8% year over year in the first quarter of 2021. And up to 3.1% by the end of the year in an upward trend. RealPage City's positive economic factors ahead for the Triangle, including the area's universities, business activity, and population growth. A lot of what will determine the rent growth performance in the next few years is the return of jobs and how that would translate to apartment demand, Couch said. However, economic recovery is a double-edged sword, he said, since it will also increase housing cost over time as conditions lead to more financially stable renters. While lower rents may pose relief, landlords and apartment companies face struggles too, says Dustin Engelken, Government Affairs Director at the Triangle Apartment Association. You've got a dual hit from a lot of people who are not paying rent and then people who are, but are paying a lot less than they would have otherwise. Less than you would have been anticipating, said Engelken. You're taking revenue hits on your paying customers and you're getting a lot of unpaid hits, so it's a really difficult situation. While rents may have dropped or stabilized, thousands were forced to seek rental assistance from the state to avoid evictions. Since last March, the majority of calls to the NC211 hotline and information and referral service provided by United Way of North Carolina requested housing and shelter assistance. More than 65% of those calls specifically sought rent assistance through the state's Housing Operations and Prevention of Evictions HOPE program, according to NC211 call data. Durham is in the top 10 counties statewide whose residents have requested rent assistance help. That rental assistance plus unemployment benefits contributed to better-than-expected rent collections in 2020, according to a recent report by real estate firm Avison Young. Payments for market-rate apartments were received from 94.2% of renters in December in the Triangle market, and rent collections have been stronger in the area's upper-tier and mid-range apartments. Looking at the horizon, we've seen during the pandemic that migration has not changed and may have actually picked up some as people were fleeing the larger metros, said Engelken. I would guess that we should be poised for another really strong year of people moving to the region, and that obviously puts pressure on the housing market. And next, a few tips on dealing with Medicare from the Medicare Made Easy column in the AARP bulletin from July-August. A question. We sold a rental property in 2020, causing us to report much higher income on our taxes. How will this affect our Part B premiums? The standard monthly Part B premium in 2021 is $148.50. But if your modified adjusted gross income makes you a higher income beneficiary, your premium goes up. It's usually calculated based on your tax return from 2 years earlier. So your property sale would affect your premiums in 2022. You won't know your precise premium until next year's rates are announced. But if your 2019 earnings were between $88,000 and $111,000 for an individual, or between $176,000 and $222,000 for a couple filing jointly, you likely are paying $59.40 more per month this year, a total of $207.90 for Part B. The premium continues to increase for even higher incomes, topping out this year at $504.90 a month for individuals earning $500,000 and above, and for couples earning $750,000 or more. The higher income rule also applies for the Part D prescription drug plans. Amounts vary by plan. The good news is that if this was a one-time event and your income drops below higher income status, your premiums will go back to the standard amount in 2023. Does Medicare pay for cataract surgery and the new glasses I'll need afterward? Medicare does cover cataract surgery under Part B. Those on original Medicare will be subject to a 20% copay, which likely would be covered if you have a supplemental Medigap plan. Medicare Advantage plans cover the surgery too. Copays will depend on your plan, but read the fine print. Medicare pays for the removal of the cataract and the implanting of a basic intraocular lens, but only if traditional surgery techniques or laser surgery are used. You may have extra charges if you get a more advanced implant. In addition, Medicare will pay for one pair of glasses or contact lenses following the surgery, but only from a supplier enrolled in Medicare. The usual Part B or MA plan copays will apply. Take note of some new services and coverages that Medicare offers in 2021. Telehealth. Beneficiaries can get many more virtual health services with doctors and other health care providers. Medicare Advantage benefits. More Medicare Advantage plans are offering extra services, including meals at home, rides to health appointments, safety improvements to homes, and nutrition counseling. Dealing with the coronavirus, Medicare amended coverage to support faster COVID-19 testing, and coronavirus vaccines are free. Medicare Care Compare website. The program has created a one-stop online tool to help enrollees compare medical providers, hospitals, home health services, nursing homes, and other facilities. Go to medicare.gov/care-compare. Next, why credit card shocks are rising. A growing number of Americans are making an unsettling discovery while examining their credit card accounts. Embedded in the list of monthly transactions are charges for things they don't remember buying or services they can't recall receiving. Federal fraud busters and other experts call the ploys behind these nasty surprises dark patterns. That term applies to tactics used by online companies, subscription services, and even political fundraisers to trick consumers into triggering recurring credit card charges, make unintended purchases, or give up personal information. These can be items sneaked onto web shopping carts, or maybe while in the process of buying something online, you were tricked by the software into accepting a more expensive item or monthly surcharge. Or perhaps a web company used visual fakery, like hard-to-see opt-out buttons to deceive you into unintentionally opting in every month. Tactics like these are sometimes illegal under a federal law that bans deceptive practices of any kind, said Catherine Roller, a Federal Trade Commission attorney. But many hide in the law's shadows. There are no bright legal lines saying when type on a web page is too small or a box too hidden to pass from legal to illegal. And online businesses, fundraisers, and yes, crooks know that. Dark patterns are surging right now, Roller says. They manipulate consumers into spending more than they intended, buying things they don't want, or staying subscribed to things they don't need. Cracking down on dark patterns is a hot topic among anti-fraud experts. And lawmakers are looking into giving the FTC more explicit authority to regulate them, according to University of Chicago law professor Lore Strassingwitz. A 2019 study found dark patterns in 11% of 11,000 shopping websites. That's a conservative estimate, said lead author Aranesh Mathur of Princeton University's Center for Information Technology Policy. He also found them in political emails. And everyone is at risk. I've been fooled by them, and so have computer experts who study them, Strahlhelvitz said. Lawmakers' efforts to root out deception are likely to take a while. In the meantime, here's how to spot and avoid six types of dark patterns. Number one, trick questions. Shopping websites may deploy double negatives or other convoluted wording to confuse you. In a study co-authored by Strahlitovitz, half of the participants who chose a subscription service by way of a series of tricky questions thought they had rejected it. Outsmart them. If a question is hard to understand, read it through several times. On rare occasion, it's an innocent case of bad wording, but often it is deliberately confusing. If you read a question twice and don't understand it, that's your cue to exit, Strahlitovitz said. Number two, fool the eye fakery. Visual tricks can nudge you to click a bright red yes button instead of a muted gray no button, miss important information tucked in the fine print, or force you to click through several screens to avoid an unwanted purchase, Mathers says. Outsmart them. Always read all of the fine print. Enlarge the type size on your computer if needed, and bring a healthy skepticism. Any signs of deceptive or coercive language should have you moving on. Number three, bullying buttons. Mather found 164 websites that make shoppers click a button that says something like, "No thanks, I'd rather pay full price," or "I don't want one-day delivery" to decline a purchase. Called confirm shaming, this tactic aims to guilt you into an unwanted purchase, he says. Outsmart them. Remember, you are in control. Shrug off the psychological tricks and only say yes to what you want, said Kelly Quinn, an associate professor at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Number four, end at midnight and just one left blurbs. In Mather's study, 40% of discount countdown timers were fakes. The deal was still available when the timer ended. Outsmart them. Don't let the fear of missing out force you to make a hasty purchase. Take your time comparing prices and options. For most consumer products or services, sales come and go all the time. And number five, sneaky extras. Mather found 62 websites that pre-selected expensive products or pressured shoppers to choose them. Seven snuck extra items into their shopping carts. Outsmart them. Check your cart very carefully before you confirm a purchase, Strahlitovitz said. I've seen subscriptions and donations added. And number six, data grabs. Websites and apps make frequent attempts to acquire info, like your cell phone number, address, and email. Personal information is valuable, Quinn says. Companies sell it and use it to target ads at you. Outsmart them. Give away as little as possible online. Don't provide your phone number for optional discounts or to place an order. And some questions to the Ask the Fraud team. My mom is talking to a guy she met by way of social media. He hasn't asked for any money, but he did ask her to allow him to use her bank account to move money in and out. Am I right to be suspicious? Yes, this person almost certainly wants your mom to be a money mule. Mules are people who, at the direction of someone else, receive and move money obtained illegally. Please warn her not to do this. She could be opening her bank account to a thief and criminally prosecuted for abetting a crime. I got a message on social media about a government grant opportunity. I sent them a copy of my driver's license. Now I realize I shouldn't have done that. What do you recommend? There is a lot of information on your driver's license: date of birth, address, signature. This is a popular request from scammers. It provides them easier access to commit identity theft. Contact the Department of Motor Vehicles and ask what steps to take, and check through credit bureaus to make sure no one is using your identity. Next, 401k rollover options. Here's what to do if you lose or change your job. Millions of Americans may need to decide what to do with their old 401k plans as the coronavirus-driven recession threw them out of work or they moved to a new employer. With the economy bouncing back somewhat, it may be time to consider your options with your 401k. If you remain unemployed or are struggling to earn enough, worrying about your distant financial future may seem important when you have immediate pressing needs now. Still, the decisions that you make today can cost you a lot more in the future, so it's smart to weigh your 401k rollover options. Here are some key choices for a 401k rollover and when each might be right for your situation. As you're considering where to roll over your 401k, you'll want to consider the advantages of each account type, the drawbacks, your own financial situation, and the tax implications. Depending on how much you have invested in your plan, you may have a limited time to make this decision, and in some cases, your former company can make the decision for you. If you have less than $1,000, your ex-employer can just cash you out. You can still roll over the money into another account, but you typically must do it within 60 days. If you have between $1,000 and $5,000, your ex-employer can move the money into an IRA of its choice. If you don't like that IRA, you can always move it. If you have more than $5,000 in your 401k, your company must await your instructions on how to proceed. You could continue to leave your money in your old 401k. The specific rules vary from employer to employer, and the rules that apply to your old 401k can be found in the plan's documents. So check there first if you're unsure how to proceed. Okay, for number one here, roll over into a new company's 401k plan. This is one option. A rollover into your new company's 401k plan may be the easiest option for you. You'll keep all the money in one place, and you may be able to access some professional advice as part of your new plan, too. So a rollover to a new 401k is a winner for convenience. It's a winner from a tax perspective, too, because you won't incur any new taxes as long as you transfer to the same type of 401k at your new employer. In addition, having all your money in a 401k protects you from the pro rata rule. This rule could really trip you up and limit the effectiveness of a backdoor Roth IRA, which is a useful strategy if you earn too much to contribute directly to a Roth IRA. One downside, however, is that your new plan must not have particularly attractive investment choices, for example, offering expensive funds. So you'll want to consider your investment options, too. A second thing, roll over into a traditional IRA. A rollover into a traditional IRA is another strong choice because you'll still enjoy substantial tax reliefs. You'll be able to defer taxes on any gains, and you can continue to add to your IRA up to $6,000 annually and enjoy the tax breaks on any income you stash there. Another advantage is that you're able to invest in whatever you want, so you can pick a top-performing, low-cost index fund or opt for a risk-free IRA CD. Some might see the flexibility of a traditional IRA as a disadvantage because it requires them to make investment decisions, and so many people will need the advice of a financial professional. Number three, roll over and convert to a Roth IRA. Another option is to roll over your 401k into a Roth IRA. The Roth IRA provides enviable tax advantages such as never paying taxes on gains when the money is withdrawn in retirement. It also offers attractive estate planning advantages and no RMDs. These are some of the reasons that many experts prefer the Roth IRA over the traditional IRA. If there's any disadvantage to a rollover into a Roth IRA, it occurs if you have money in a traditional 401k. If you move from this kind of 401k to a Roth IRA, you'll be hit with taxes to compensate for the taxes you've already deferred in the traditional 401k. This burden, which can be quite high, is one reason that many workers move their money into a traditional IRA. A fourth thing is you could roll over into an annuity. It can still be held within the tax-friendly embrace of an IRA, helping you to avoid taxes until they're necessary. The advantages of an annuity are that it can provide a stable income with a guaranteed return. When participants tap the annuity, they can receive a regular pension-like income. Many savers like this security, and they don't need to worry about investing their money, a process that some just don't want to handle. The downside for an annuity include the relatively high sales commissions that can sometimes be hidden in the sales contract. The types of annuity contracts can be incredibly complex with all types of restrictions and caveats depending on what the annuity company offers. Some annuities can be much more complex than others depending on the features you'll need. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.